Having taken his great and solemn obligation, the candidate is informed that there are several degrees in Freemasonry, but he is not told what they are. As he progresses through the craft, he realizes that there is the degree of a fellow craft, and, later, another called the Master Mason. Hopefully, he will also learn something about the Royal Arch, and will seek to join that. But when he is exalted, he finds, to his surprise, that the Royal Arch is not today a degree, but the Master Mason's completed. But what about all the other degrees we hear about? For example, the Mark, the Archmariner, the Knight Templar, the Royal and Select Masters, and the Rose Croix, to name but a few. Where do they fit into the scheme of things, and who controls them? An attempt to answer these questions will be made later in this talk. Let us begin by taking a look at the earliest days of what we call symbolic masonry. This is generally reckoned to date from the very late 17th or the very early 18th century. The evidence we have seems to suggest that in those days there was only one degree, or possibly two. The first was when the individual was made a Mason, and the second was when he became a Fellow of the Craft, or, as some said, a Master. The terms were then generally considered to be synonymous. Both ceremonies were often performed on the same evening. There are some documents about this period, give or take a decade or so, that give hints of a possible third degree, possibly with Noah rather than Hiram as a central figure. But it is not until 1725 that we have any definite proof of a third degree. This proof comes not from a lodge, but from a group of men who decided to fix and establish a mutual society of true lovers of music and architecture. The architectural portion seems to have been principally concerned with ensuring that every member of the society was a Freemason. If he was not, they made him one. As might be expected, they got themselves into trouble before long with a newly formed Grand Lodge, but that isn't part of this story. 5 years after this, in 1730, Samuel Pritchard published a pamphlet entitled Masonry Dissected, in which he purported to give all the ceremonies. This gave three separate degrees, the Apprentice's degree, the Fellowcraft degree, and the Master's degree. And here, for the first time, we have the Hiramic legend we know today. This pamphlet proved to be very popular. So much so, the Grand Lodge became very worried about the clandestine making of Freemasons. They were also very worried that there might well be a run on the recently formed charity fund by those who were not what one might call legitimate Masons. Grand Lodge took what it thought was a sensible course of action, which included the swapping of words of the first and second degrees, though it must be said that some present-day Masonic scholars are challenging that statement. The action was to have quite an impact on the craft at a later date. In fact, it became a prime cause of the setting up of a rival Grand Lodge about 1751. By the end of the 1730s, the three degrees were well established. A word or two about that rival Grand Lodge. Very simply, some brethren who had come over from Ireland found that certain things in the ceremonies, which they had been used to doing, were either not done over here, or had been changed about as the result of the action said to have been taken by Grand Lodge following the publication of Pritchard's Masonry Dissected. These Irishmen objected to what they called the modernization of the ritual, and they decided to form their own Grand Lodge, which would continue to practice the ancient method of working, that is, ignoring the changes made by the first or premier Grand Lodge. They became known as the Grand Lodge of the Ancients, and the premier Grand Lodge, formed about 34 years earlier, became known as the Moderns. One of the differences between these two Grand Lodges was their attitude to the Royal Arch, the earliest reference to which is found in the 1740s. The Grand Lodge of the Ancients actively encouraged the Royal Arch. It was known by them as the Fourth Degree. The Premier Grand Lodge, on the other hand, did not recognize the Royal Arch. But this did not stop some of the brethren owing allegiance to that Grand Lodge from being exalted. Included amongst those joining were senior members of the Grand Lodge, and indeed, in 1766, the Moderns' Grand Master. At that date, some of them, acting in their private capacity, formed the first Grand Chapter, from which our present-day Supreme Grand Chapter is descended. This difference in opinion regarding the Royal Arch persisted right up to 1813, when the two rival Grand Lodges were united to give us what we have today, United Grand Lodge. Since 1813, our United Grand Lodge has recognized the Royal Arch as being part of pure ancient masonry, but not as a fourth degree. We do our best to encourage brethren to take the three degrees, but do we do enough to encourage brethren to complete the third degree by going on to the Royal Arch? I think not. The principal reasons many brethren do not proceed are: they haven't the time, they can't afford it, they are too busy learning the craft ritual, they are discouraged by reports from companions because they have been told they can't make real progress in the Royal Arch until they have been installed master of a lodge, that there is a lot of ritual to learn once they do take office, and that parts of the proceedings are boring and not easily understood. Further, insufficient publicity is given to craft members about the Royal Arch, in addition to the positive discouragement to which I have just referred. There is often a general lack of encouragement. But whatever the reasons, it is a fact that for a very long time, something like 64% of Master Masons do not proceed to the Royal Arch to complete their third degree. Before proceeding to other degrees, I should mention the ceremony of passing the veils, known in Scotland as the Excellent Master Degree. This ceremony used to be worked in England before 1813, and indeed there is definite evidence that it continued in some parts of the country after that date. However, at the time of the union of the two Grand Lodges, it was not accepted as part of pure ancient masonry. In the early part of this century, the province of Bristol sought and obtained permission from Supreme Grand Chapter to reintroduce the ceremony as a prerequisite to the Royal Arch. It is not sanctioned elsewhere in England. In the light of current knowledge of the history of the Royal Arch, such permission would probably not be granted today. Though not classified as a degree in England, it is considered as such in Scotland, though it cannot be taken in isolation. The Royal Arch must follow. In Ireland, it is considered to be an integral part of the Royal Arch. So much for what Grand Lodge calls pure ancient masonry. Let me now turn to the other degrees. But before doing so, I should say that I have taken the word Freemasonry as a generic term embracing all Masonic orders which require the three craft degrees as an essential qualification, and the word degrees as steps or grades within those orders. Furthermore, although I will not mention them all, I have concerned myself only with those approved by Grand Lodge. By and large, they may be listed under 12 different headings, and I'll deal briefly with each group. There is no significance in the order in which they are mentioned. Firstly, the Grand Lodge of Mark Master Masons, which is directly responsible for the Mark and the Royal Arc Mariner's degrees. The Mark degree seems to have been practiced in England for over 200 years. I believe the first definite evidence is 1769. But since it is not mentioned in the preamble to the constitutions of the United Grand Lodge of England, it doesn't form part of pure ancient masonry. Nevertheless, it was obviously held in high regard. We know that a joint committee from United Grand Lodge and Supreme Grand Chapter was set up in the 1850s and reported on the 5th of March 1856. It was stated that the Mark degree did not form part of the Royal Arch, nor was it considered essential to the craft, though it might well be considered as forming a graceful addition to the Fellow Craft degree. As a result of this, the following motion was debated and approved in Grand Lodge. The degree of Mark Mason is not at variance with craft masonry, and it should be added thereto under proper regulations. At the quarterly communication next following, that part of the minutes dealing with a Mark degree was not confirmed. The basis of the argument, put forward by a past president of the Board of General Purposes, was Grand Lodge had no power to make so great and constitutional a change as that of adding a new degree to the order. And it was further contended that no man or body of men could make such innovation as that proposed, an argument based on a Grand Lodge minute of 1723, which forms part of the ancient charges and regulations read to every master elect on the night of his installation, and to which his unqualified assent is required. Almost immediately after the Grand Lodge debate, the Grand Lodge of Mark Master Masons was set up, and it is this body which now controls the degree. It is worthwhile mentioning that, chronologically, the Mark degree, as at present practiced, follows the degree of Fellowcraft. Indeed, it is often said to be the completion of that degree. I should mention that in both Scotland and Ireland, the Mark degree is an essential qualification for the Royal Arch. The Royal Arch Mariner's degree has, since 1871, been controlled by the Grand Lodge of Mark Master Masons. The degree relates to the legend of the deluge and takes up the ancient motif of Noah already mentioned. In addition to these degrees, the Grand Secretary of the Grand Lodge of Mark Master Masons is also the secretary of a number of other orders, all of which, however, retain their own independent individuality. The Order of Secret Monitor is one of these. The degree came to England from America in about 1875, though there are some who say that its origins are Dutch. It has three degrees which deal respectively with the friendship between David and Jonathan, Saul and David, and the kingship of David. Then there is the Royal and Select Masters, another order administered from Mark Mason's Hall. The series of degrees in this order are often referred to as the cryptic degrees, but only two of them actually refer to a crypt. The degrees are Most Excellent Master, which deals with the completion and dedication of the temple, Royal Master, which is a real cryptic degree, Select Master, another cryptic degree, and Super Excellent Master, which refers to Nebuchadnezzar and the First Temple. The next order to which I refer is that of the allied Masonic degrees, comprising St. Lawrence the Martyr, said to have been in use for 200 years. It teaches fortitude. Knight of Constantinople, which teaches a lesson in universal equality and humility. Grand Tyler of Solomon, very similar in character to the degree of Select Master. Red Cross of Babylon, an old degree closely associated with the older form of the mark and the royal arch. It is set in the time of Cyrus and Darius of Persia. And Grand High Priest, said to be an amalgamation of a French and German degree which came to England from America. It refers to the blessing of Abraham and the consecration of Aaron. Turning now to the ancient and accepted rite. A belief in the Christian faith is essential here, at least in England. There are 33 degrees, but I will mention only those worked in full. They are the Sub-Prince of Rosecroix, which is the 18th. The symbolic teaching deals with a figurative passage of man through the darkest veil, accompanied and sustained by the three theological virtues. The Grand Elected Knight Kadosh, the 30th degree. Kadosh signifies holy or consecrated. The degree deals with a mystical ladder symbolic of science and virtue. Further advancement to the 31st and 32nd degrees is conferred on specially selected candidates in strictly limited numbers. The Grand Inspector Inquisitor Commander is the 31st. This is conferred in a supreme tribunal wherein the candidate is able to estimate the real value of eternal Masonic justice and equity. The Sublime Prince of the Royal Secret is the 32nd. This counsels charity and tolerance to all mankind. And the Sovereign Inspector General, the 33rd and supreme degree of the rite. The peculiar duties of members entail that they encourage charity and fraternal love throughout the order. Next we have the Red Cross of Constantine, which controls three Christian degrees. Firstly, the Knight of the Red Cross of Constantine, which relates the story of the conversion of the Roman Emperor to the Christian faith. Then, Knight of the Holy Sepulchre, which is concerned with the 3 days which intervened between the crucifixion and the resurrection. And thirdly, Knight of St. John the Evangelist, which explains the craft and royal arch ceremonies in a purely Christian sense. The full title of the next order is the United Religious, Military, and Masonic Orders of the Temple and of St. John of Jerusalem, Palestine, Rhodes and Malta in England, Wales, and provinces overseas. The order is governed by a great priory. The degrees are Knight Templar, Knight of St. Paul or Mediterranean Pass, and Knight of St. John of Jerusalem, Palestine, Rhodes, and Malta. The degrees have been known for upwards of 200 years, though no claim is made to any historical connection with the medieval military orders. Again, in England, a belief in the Christian faith is essential. And if that isn't enough, we have the Holy Royal Arch Knight Templar Priests, the Royal Order of Scotland, which is a particularly old degree, the Operatives, the Societas Rosicruciana in Anglia, the Order of Light, the Order of Erie, and the Knights Beneficent of the Holy City. Between them, these latter orders control about 65 degrees. It has been said that every Masonic degree is a vital means of teaching lessons in the value of such virtues as honesty, charity, industry, fidelity, humility, and such like. And although those degrees beyond the craft are not recognized by our United Grand Lodge as part of pure ancient masonry, they can all be said to come within the broad definition of degrees in Freemasonry. Brethren, I hope this brief survey gives you a fairly general idea of some, but not all, of the several degrees in Freemasonry. Practically all I have said in connection with those degrees beyond the craft has been taken from a book with the title Beyond the Craft, written by Brother Keith Jackson, who has been kind enough to allow me to quote extensively from it. I must admit that I belong to the three craft degrees and the Royal Arch only. In my view, every Master Mason should proceed to the Royal Arch. Beyond that, progress must be a matter for his own judgment, having regard to time and money, and above all else, the claims of his family. The phrase, without detriment to myself or connections, should constantly be borne in mind before further Masonic commitments are undertaken. But, as I said just now, this must be a matter for the member's own judgment. I have no doubt many would argue that a full participation in the several degrees of Freemasonry is very much worthwhile.